Hi, my name is Loren and I'm an alcoholic. I want to thank everyone for showing up and for being chosen. It's an honor, so I've been told. I'm very nervous, and what helps me to get through this is a small paragraph from AA literature, Came to Believe, and I would like to read it to you guys. Maybe it would help someone out there that has the same problem as I do. And then the light came on, then the message came through. God was telling me, you are an alcoholic. That is all you are. Not a preacher, not a teacher, not a speaker. Just an alcoholic recovering by my grace. And that was that, a lesson taught with humor, a lesson I must never forget. The important thing is not what I do, where I live, or what my name is. The important thing is that I am a recovering alcoholic by the grace of God through membership in AA. And that tells me that I don't have to come up here and do good, great, or indifferent. It tells me that I have to be myself and deliver the message. I show up and I open up my mouth, I say a prayer and allow God to speak through me. How it was for me, I come from an alcoholic family. I say alcoholic because I never considered myself an alcohol. I was very judgmental when I seen other people drink and misbehaved. So that's my point of view. And I was never that. I did other things, and I was very quiet and to myself. I was afraid all the time of everything. And one day, I met some friends, and they introduced Doc Bacardi and Coke 45 as a chaser. And the alcohol, the liquor itself, was a burning feeling, but the beer calmed it down. So it was easier for me to continue to drink like that. And the feeling I got behind it was indescribable. I mean, it was a new person emerging, you know, and I was able to do a lot of things that was only in my head that I couldn't bring to reality. And I started to have fun, and I started to speak what was on my mind, and I just started to doing things that I wanted to do. Only coming in here, I realized those things were to the extreme. I said nothing back then. And when I started drinking, I said every and anything that came to my mind. And I was always in a shell, but the drink took me out of that shell. And coming into recovery, I never went back into that shell. So now I'm learning that I have a balance that I have to find. And through the membership of AA and my sponsor and my network, which is a very small network at the time because I'm not very trustworthy. When I first came into AA, I didn't know why I was here. I knew I was hurting, and I didn't understand what y'all were doing, talking about what. I wasn't listening. All I knew that y'all were talking, and I just didn't see how that would help me from suffering. I never came into AA to stop drinking. I just wanted the pain to go away. And I remember one of the first AA meetings I made, a young lady was standing up here and she was sharing how she just got finished graduating from school. But I didn't think that had anything to do with me being there. And I couldn't understand that. And the first words out of my mouth was, I'm not doing that. I'm not going back to school, you know? I dropped out, I believe, in the 10th grade. You know, I hated school. I fell behind. I wasn't getting any help, so it was boring to me, you know? And I didn't have that help, you know, that I seeked for. There's a lot of things that I thought I should have had that I didn't have, you know? So when I came into AA, I did end up going to school. And they told me that I had to get a sponsor. I went through several sponsors, several of them. And, you know, I commend God for putting these special people in my life who stuck and stayed, who teaches me how to have patience with other people. Not that I've learned it yet, but she's teaching me. She's teaching me. You know, I know what a sponsor is supposed to do. You know, they're doing God's work. God is using them. And one of my sponsors took me to a bunch of meetings, spent a lot of time. I require a lot of attention, you know. And I'm the only girl. I'm a spoiled brat. I'm rotten to the core, okay? I mean, years ago, I would never admit that. But today, I do see that. There's a lot of things I see about myself today that I never seen before. There's a lot of things in my life that I admit to. Okay, now dealing with the problem or trying to correct it is another story. That's where the real work comes in at, as far as I'm concerned, because I'm continuously falling short and I'm continuously beating myself up over it. Okay, but I was told as long as I keep coming and I don't pick up a drink, I will get better. Okay, I'm learning to have that faith. Okay, I remember going back and forth out of there and getting the same results, if not worse. I've been suicidal since I was 13 years old, and my last suicide attempt ended me up in ICU. I overdosed on my medication, and I was at a gas station, and I had bought some food. Before I died, I felt like I needed to be on a full stomach. And I had a whole chicken and a thing of macaroni salad, which was my favorite. And I ran out of something to drink, so I couldn't finish the pills. And I remember having a money order, and I was attempting to go down the street where I was pointed to go to cash this money order so I can get something to drink to finish the pills. When I got back into the car, it took effect on me, and I just couldn't move. So I felt this really bad pain in my chest, and I was like, "Lord, I changed my mind. I don't want to die." But at that point, it was too late. It was too late. So I was on a full stomach, and I just laid back and went to sleep. And the next thing I know, for a minute or whatever, I came out of that sleep because I remember ambulances and police officers were knocking and banging on my window. I wanted to die, but I didn't want them to break my window just in case I didn't die. And I remember putting the window down just enough for them to get me out of there. And they sent me to the hospital. And I slipped into a coma for 3 days. That was the worst I ever came to suicide. And I had people come see me that I don't even remember coming to see me. I realized then that it was a cry for help, but I kind of like took that too far that time, you know. I really didn't want to die. I wanted to get better. Before I picked up the drink, I knew there was something wrong with me because I was suicidal at the age of 13, and I wasn't even drinking yet. I mean, I had no way of letting all that pain and hurt outside of me without offending someone because I always blame people for my problems, you know. I thought I should have been getting a better life. I always looked outside of myself. Everything you had was better than what I had. Everything you had, I wanted. You know, I was never happy with myself, even to this day. But the grateful thing for me today is that I'm working on it. I have a little hope today. Some days are better than others. I learned how to drive tractor trailers in here. I went to school. And I went over the road, and I never thought that I could go to school and drive tractor trailers. I mean, that was on a whim. That was never something that I wanted to do, you know. But I was in a relationship with a guy who was driving trucks. And, you know, I'm the type of person who likes to do what he's doing, you know? And I've done those things in my past. And I did it. I became a tractor trailer driver. And one of my plans, was for us to team up, but it didn't work out that way. God had another plan, which was great because, see, for my training, I had to team up. I was an expedited company, which you have to have a co-driver, okay? In the beginning, I fought with all my co-drivers, and I had a phobia of driving by myself. They enabled me. Only thing I had to do was drive. They mapped everything out. I knew nothing about reading a map, right? And so one day I had a fight and I broke my finger, but I was so afraid to drive by myself, I was willing to let bygones be bygones. But he wasn't willing to do that. So I had to leave him in Seattle, Washington, and I was on my own. And I remember one of my sponsors saying to me, "Loren, you have another seat there. Talk to God. Put him in that seat." And I did. And everything was okay. And I made it back. From that point on, I've been driving solo. So I'm saying that to say that there's really nothing that I can't do without God. And I need the willingness to do it. I am so defiant, even here in recovery. I am so willful. Instant gratification. I will deal with the consequences later. But you know what? Sometimes the consequences is way too much and never worth it. You know, never worth it. But by the time I get to that point, it's too late. You know? And finally, I really believe in my heart of hearts that I'm tired of that. Okay? Although it's not about the drink anymore. It's about my behaviors. It's always been about my behaviors. You know, I don't want to die today. I don't want to cry out for help in a wrong way, not when I have positive people in my life to help me. I really don't have to go that way. And I am so grateful. I mean, when I was called to speak, And Hermina asked me, "Can you do it?" I was like, "Yeah, but is this your number?" Just in case. And someone gave me this, came to believe, and I read that paragraph, and it's so true. It's a bunch of alcoholics here just like me trying to recover a day at a time. Right? I am not being judged. And the people who judge don't matter. And the people who matter don't judge. So I am grateful, and I just want to thank everyone for listening to me. And most of all, I want to thank my God because he knows so much more than I do. And I just keep questioning him, you know. And being here, I know you guys are all going to teach me better as long as I keep coming and I don't pick up the first one. Thank you.